Now, I know that there's a lot of history behind this case. What you've been laid down as the initial incident isn't the start of this problem. It's just a part of it. Now, I also understand that you've been quite concerned about my mental health, and that you think that because of what is actually happening to me, that I should be explaining that, yeah, this has had a deterioration on my mental health. But from me understanding the laws of the land that I represent, I understand under my Article 3 of my human rights, if a person just writes Article 3, it would just come up with the layman terms of it, a short summary. But if you actually write a physical or mental suffering will amount to torture, then you see the acceptance is the key element to what can happen to a person. When someone's degraded by another person, that can become torture. It doesn't mean that a person's mentally ill to be mentally ill in any form of way. I've been checked by the doctors 130 times in different days now, and since this has happened, and every time the doctors have said that there's nothing wrong with me, that I'm fairly well sane of mind, and that they've never been able to hold any section, put a section 3 or anything else on me after my assessment that they've done. And they've looked at my paperwork and they've read it in black and white, and they've said, "You're right, Simon, this is illegal what they're doing to you." Yeah? They're detaining me in my house for 7 years or something. The first ASBO, the council, have made 4 applications against me now. The first ASBO, which was forged. Now, that first ASBO is missing the signatures at the bottom, but there is no victims in the whole ASBO application. Now, I'm writing 7 years for it. Yeah? The maximum sentence under the Rage Bill, if you was arrested for it, is 6 months. So they didn't have enough evidence under criminal conviction to arrest me and to get me the signature. Have they extended the time limit and they couldn't then understand that I know spoke? Yeah, there was multiple things that was wrong with the application, and they realised how much trouble they was in, and I was winding up the call centre at first. This is why they've done this to me, because I was calling the call centre and changing my name after that. Yeah, and I've got them recordings as well. Now, I understand that Lemmy, in creating a procession order in 2016, because one claimant said, "Oh, some tyres have been done," and one claimant has said that I told him I'm going to get him in a park. After 2 years of them attacking me and me doing nothing, me acting in self-defence 2 years later, telling these people get away, the police won't protect me and no one else will. This is all that was the minimum I could do to protect myself from them and what they've been getting away with, yeah, as the emails prove. Now, I know that. Now, basically, Lemmy, when he created the possession order, he'd done exactly the same thing. He never got the statements off of Stan, off of John Ivan, or of any of the other people. He never took new statements and built that possession order. What he actually done is he has a line manager called Kanuchiwa. And Kanuchiwa was dealing with the criminal prosecution. 3 cases, one for Stan, one for them, and one for them lot from the 16 that I'm on about for the tyres and things. And what the witness care team done was met from Hackney, was Crown Prosecution, to message Kanuchiwa and said that there's not enough evidence in this case, they're throwing all 3 of them out of the court. They threw all 3 of them out of the court on the 14th of August 2016. She messaged Lemmy, because I've got the emails, I've got all the emails between the prosecution and between Kanuchiwa, they're messaging each other from a freedom of information. So she told Kanuchiwa there's no case in this moment. Then Lemmy has come to these people's houses and he said to them that there's no case because Kanuchiwa told him that and handed them incident diaries. Now he kept forcing them into their houses and forcing them to do more statements. Now he took them same cases that the Crown Prosecution threw out and he built a possession order out of them. Now these that wouldn't give him statements said fresh statements, so he had no statements for them possession orders. Now if you look at that John Ivans, he's tip-exed out at the top of it, and he's wrote in pen the new dates, and no one signed underneath it. John Ivan didn't know that this case was happening. So when we went to court, and we called for the hearsay rule 1995 and said that we want a trial, Lemmy's got all stuck, because he's got no true victims, like the first ASBO. But what he also done was, he took the paperwork from the first ASBO, yeah, the bail conditions, and he put that into the possession order. Yeah, and he didn't just put any paper, he put the one where they subliminally threatened me inside of it, yeah, in that possession order. Are you still there, Manuel? And basically, I'm sorry that it's so long, and it's a lot of your time already, I'm sorry. And basically, by him doing that, he I have recordings of me speaking to Lemmy just prior, saying to Lemmy, Lemmy, this is out of order what you're doing to me, Lemmy. Please can you explain to me what the first complaint is? I've got this recording. He phoned me on the 6th of 2017, yeah, the 6th month. Yeah. Now, I said to him in that conversation, Lemmy, please can you go into the computer and can you tell me the last complaint ever made about me? He goes into the computer and record hearing typing, and he goes, ah, the 1st of January 2017. Yeah, so you can hear me in the conversation, so I will let everything that's in you're accusing of is out of the time limitation act in that possession order under the 1980 rules. Yeah, so you can't proceed with that. Yeah, and then less than 3 days later, 4 days later, he served me the injunction order, but then he added an extra 22 incidents in it that weren't at the time limitation act. So how can you get 22 more phone in less than 4 days? Of him admitting on the computer, on the phone call, that it was an error. Every one of them days is a copy and paste, aggressively banging, doing this, doing that. That's why we've looked at this injunction order, and you can see it looks such a mess. And they all seem so similar, the account to each other. And I have this evidence, and I'm upset that I'm in the position that I'm in, and that they've put you in this position again. And there's nothing, that I've done nothing wrong. Of them attacking me every day from 14, me phoning up the police station asking them to protect me, and it proves what these lot have really done to me and the neglect and the breach of statutory duties from the personnel, the reasonable people who are working under the company head of Enfield Council towards me. And it shows that they have intrusively decided to invade my privacy and my private life. And why they've done it in such a reckless way that it's caused me distress and emotional suffering. Yes, and on the second occasion that I come to see you, and you ask me, on the first ever time I come to your office to see you, you asked me, do I have mental health questions, a problem? And I explained, you'd met my mother once before in the office, and I explained to you, no, I don't. You explained to me that my mother had explained to you, she had nicely explained to you, she's mistaken in what she's explaining to you. I have learning difficulties, yes. But there's nothing wrong with my mental stability. I've got evidence to put the case in Mr. Francis' here, and I would like to give you the video evidence of that and my report. And then I would like that to be served in my response bundle to the other party. And I would like a good barrister that would represent me in my proceedings, and I will 100% win the case. I've just been on the phone to the claimant's solicitor, and I've been explaining to them about the Kimberleys in breaching of factory injuries. And I think that they're going to be calling the other solicitor firm out anyway. After they talked to you, your firm has served your firm, I got upset, so I just contacted them and I've had recorded, but I ain't recording our conversations, but I record. Their solicitor firm right now is, I'll give you the name of them, I've just spoke to the executive director and explained to her what's going to be happening. I think they've just realised how much trouble they're in. Kirwins, K-I-R-W-A-N-S, solicitor firm. Yeah? Pardon? What's, I don't understand the question. Yeah, Kirwins, K-I-R-W-A-N-S,
Kerwin's solicitor firm, and the case handler is Ludmilla, L-U-D-M-I-L-L-A. Yeah, she represents this solicitor firm, Kerwin's solicitor firm, and she had done 5 years training, and after that training, she started working for Kerwin's solicitor firm. Kerwin's solicitor firm. Yes, I've just been on the phone to there's a company head still that she works for. She don't just work for the company head Enfield Council. She's worked in partnership with Enfield Council since 2016. But the actual solicitor firm that she represents is Kerwin Solicitor Firm, and her thing is executive director is Sonia Robinson, and I just spoke to them on the phone this hour ago. I would like you to represent me, and I would like you to go over my case papers and over my evidence. And as a litigation officer, I think it would only be fair on your party's behalf to sit down and go through my evidence with me. If you think that there's no weight in my evidence after you've seen it, and that I don't have a case, then I think it would be fair for you to dismiss the proceedings, maybe, or advise me to change my plea. But in the circumstances with the evidence that I've got and that we've not gone over, then I don't think that would be fair on your behalf to do that to me. I've got the strongest public argument, and I said I'm not going to cause no problems for your solicitor firm with the council or with any other person. Go on, mate. Just trying to run away.
And
let's say I've got mental health conditions, they don't want to represent me. That's scary, isn't it? Unless I've got mental health conditions, they won't represent me. Again, it's just, I've just changed what they've said, though. So if you're taking the piss, you can't tell me that. You're a man. Bro, I ain't got no mental health. Get away from me, man.
What are you talking about? You got to represent me. I've got another defense to you anyway, yeah. Let's run up the court.
No. Lady, stop. Go to bed now. Bed.
Is this Edmonton County Court?
It is, yes. How can I help?
Basically, I have a few questions to ask. I have a case number. Is it possible I can give you the case number?
Of course.
It's E00. ED.
Yeah.
049.
49. Bear with us one moment.
Right, thank you.
And who am I speaking to, please?
Mr. Simon Cordell.
Hi, how can I help?
Basically, I have a few queries. Basically, I have the claimant, which is the Enfield Council, trying to put another injunction order against me through your courts. This is the fourth application that they've put on me illegally, and they're holding me hostage in my house under the first ASPO application, which doesn't have no victim signatures at the bottom of it, and also that it all the timestamps are wrong in it. They're saying that I'm an IC1 male in it, the 999 callers are. Now I'm riding 7 years in my house illegally being detained because of it, and I basically kept phoning up and trying to get people to act reasonable, like reasonable people under their statutory duties, and going through the complaints procedures, and they kept abusing their positions and avoiding disciplinary action, avoiding releasing me from my home. Now, because of this, they've continued. The same company head, Enfield Council, have put another 3 applications on me since, a possession order, which they never had no victims in it, nit statements neither, and then they've put an injunction order on me after that to cover that up, and the judge threw that out. Then they've just put another injunction order on me illegally, emergency applications. But none of them will call the emergency application in the court to get the missing signatures rectified and me released from being illegally detained in my house on the first application that they made in 2014. Now, I don't think that the court has... I've wrote a response bundle. I've kept a diary every day of everything that's happened. And I've kept all of my text messages for all my partners, between me and my partners, because they've caused a sex scandal in mine and my partner's name when we've never argued with each other, and I've never had no problems with me and so forth. And I've got all my medical notes and the recordings of the clinic transcribed that. I've been calling the call centre, like I've just explaining what I've been explaining to you, the 999 call centre. And they've been calling me a black bastard down the phone and telling me I've been robbed. I've transcribed all of these and put them into the recordings, and I've spoke to all the executive directors of all the other courts that accepted this case illegally in error of the law, and I've also I'm at a stage now I want to go through the Supreme Courts. But if this application has been put on me again illegally through this court by a judge called Judge Taylor, I would like to know what the Judge Taylor's surname is. And also, I would like to be able to call another meeting back into the courthouse so that I can show him my response bundle and that I'm building my defence still, and that this is taking me some time. It's taken me over 6 months to build it so far, and that I'd need an extension in time to be able to serve my paperwork, my response.
Right, you've got a hearing coming up on the 5th of February?
On the 5th of February, the hearing is coming up. Okay.
On the 5th of February, so you can also voice your opinion there to the judge.
Okay, who is the judge that actually allowed this to happen?
It's Employment Judge Taylor, that's his surname, Taylor.
That's his surname, and what was his first name?
Let me find it if I can give you his first name, just bear with one moment.
Thank you. Hello?
Yeah, I'm unable to give her first name, just Employment Judge Taylor.
What? Okay, I'm going to accept, obviously, that, but under the law that I understand, under your statutory duties, which you represent for the courts, yeah, as a reasonable person, I'm entitled to know any official persons under litigation, because they should all be on a registry, and I'm allowed to voice my opinion under their thing. So I'm quite surprised that you won't give me the judge who is dealing with me and
just
who... Okay.
So you want the judge's name, and we can get that referred up to the judge.
Okay, that I want the judge's name, obviously. I'm entitled to know who's dealing with me.
So that's fine.
If I wanted to have a babysitter or something looking after my kid, I wouldn't just take their surname. And these people are looking after me. I don't have children, so I look after myself. And I want to know the person that's dealing with my life, their first name and surname.
But like I said, you've got a hearing on the 5th
okay.
of February. And obviously, if you want to know the name, just send us an email.
The 5th?
And then we can get that referral.
What time is the hearing on the 5th, may I ask?
2 o'clock.
Okay, but now this emergency application has been put on me again, so now I'm being held on this emergency application. Now, the day that I come back from my home, yeah, now I've made a proper report. In 2006, I asked the council for a noise abatement notice. They sent me a special one from the Civic Centre. Now, every day in that diary, I've been building it. They put the diary, the table, the wrong way round, so the writing goes skinny. I've turned it around. I've done a master's report, which is of the highest grade. I've done over 2 million words in my report. Yeah, all my problem-solving statements at the bottom, all the potential causes, every email between me and every official person that sent me, every phone call I've transcribed, I've spent months doing it, yeah? Now, they're in a lot of trouble for what's happened and the other judges have been illegally holding me in my house. Now, I don't think that the lower court has jurisdiction over this case, and I would like the case to be raised straight away, the judge to oversee that he doesn't have jurisdiction of the case, the laws that I needed, and send it straight up to the higher courts. Otherwise, I'm going to be going to the Supreme Court myself and going to prove. I think the day that I got released and the day that they gave me this ASBO, I'm sitting in my house and my neighbours are attacking me in my house. They're banging at me. Now, I've recorded this every single day here. Yeah? And you can hear me in my house explaining to the people what they're doing is illegal to me. I'm having heart attacks in my house. I'm writing to the council explaining that I'm having problems with my heart, that I've been, and this isn't correct. Enough. So, I don't understand how this court will have the jurisdiction to deal with it. Or that Taylor hasn't already understood that from what's going on. Lemmy and that have built this possession order under basically, what initially, no, and this is what could save them, yeah? What initially happened is the other day I was in my house and they come to my house again to get me out. They wanted to get the report, the paperwork. When they come in my house, I've got cameras in every front room and in my kitchens and everything, all online there. Yeah? So they can't come into my house and get me, and I've got a massive gate that's ABT and dogs and everything in my house, yeah? So they can't get in my house to get this report. They come in my house under some illegal pretense the other night and nick me again, yeah, for threats to kill, yeah, saying that I'm threatening my neighbour. When my neighbours were attacking me and I phoned them up, I phoned up 999 and said, look, I'm in my house, can you hear my neighbours banging at me, will you protect me? And then BT transfer me over to the 999 cooperator, and they're on the phone, and I'm recording all of this. Like, I'm not recording our conversation now, that's the gospel honest truth here, this is between us, yeah. Now, they keep attacking me in my house here. I've never done nothing, and they've had no disease up. They've said they've done this to cover over what Robert Taylor done. This bloke called Robert Taylor, he was the barrister for the first case, the ASBO, that the council brought against me. Now, he'd done the same to somebody else, a sexual assault. If you write this down, just on a bit of paper for your own inquiries in the offices. Bristol Spotlight, all one word, bristolspotlight.co.uk. Now, when you look at that, there's another bloke the same as me that this Robert Taylor was dealing with, yeah? And he'd done exactly the same to him, this Sally Gilhurst, the executive director of our country, working under Hugh Gill solicitor. They forged all the paperwork and done the same to this other boy, bloke as well, and caused a sex scandal in his name. They beat him up and done the same. Now, I've been phoning them saying this is out of order. I put in, under the prosecution files, in the right to a fair and speedy trial, I served that to the judge, and I said to the judge, look, I'm requesting MG2, MG3, MG4, MG5, MG6E. MG6E is any person's criminal record that is dealing with my case. Now, they refused to give this to me, and this bloke was doing exactly the same for somebody else at the same time, yeah? And they didn't pull him off and put somebody else on his case. Now, that's illegal what they've done here. Yeah? They've got no victim signatures. All the timestamps to the call centre go backwards in time. In the course that they've in the paperwork, they've opened up every paper that they've found on the computer. They've opened them up, which have been in there for a year, which are the incidents. They were all good things, and they've edited them, and then they've wrote, oh, he's a black bastard, brown boy on the block. They've scribbled all over it about my ethnicity. And then they've used these things once they've opened them and put them into the application. The judge, they couldn't get a judge to get the injunction. Like, they put served the injunction outside my front door and never served it to me directly. Not this second one, the first one, they left it outside. So I've got my mum to come down and bring it to Lost Property, Edmonton.
She handed it in lost property and got a receipt for it, yeah? All stamped Edmonton, and one blue folder found out Simon's story was never served properly. Now, all of a sudden, that only had four victims in it saying they got kept up overnight. Yeah, that's what this is all about, why I've got 7 years. Four people got kept up overnight. Now, I went to the, when I see the folder, I've been in my house for a year prior, working for Bliss Charity Hospital in a Model Constitution, CIC Association. I was working for Drawings Park Festival, Fonda Centre. I've gone completely legit. So they wanted to pull me back. So they accused me of all the people's while I was on curfew for the that year, yeah, for another case that I won. They threw all those six people in their incidents. Now, three of them I know the people to. Yeah, they're associates that run off and done their own thing and left me on curfew in my house, basically. Yeah? And that I've got to protect. And then three of them could be your children. So I went to my Facebook and I copied the event profile pages, proving I never threw these events. Now, I refused to give them to the police because I didn't want to be a police informer, and I don't do their line of investigation anyway. And I kept showing this Robert Tatel, who was the barrister in the pictures of that Bristol spotlight that I was showing you, what was going on, and but I wouldn't give him the Facebook, so they kept doing it. Now, I've got all the transcripts here. They accept all the police officers. 15 coppers went to court and pretended to be first-hand evidence, yeah? None of them had any... They were all hearsay, yeah? They wrote the case relies solely on hearsay, yeah? And in Highbury in 2007, the court says it's against the law for anyone to have for a case to rely on hearsay. So after all of this, they started trying to get me out of the country and done this to me and Shannon, yeah? Dirty our names, yeah? And started saying that we've got all diseases and shit that and knocked us in our house, started trying to climb, yeah? Yes, that is correct, 100%.
Okay, so
you have
all your paperwork ready?
Yes, madam. Yes, I will.
Okay, all your paperwork ready at 2 o'clock?
And they never served me this injunction, though, right? They, when I was in the cell...
You need to let the court, you need to let the officer when you come to court and go to your hearing. You need to let them know they have to serve the papers on you.
Yes, that's correct. I will understand. Because what they've done is they tried to reopen another case because they got the injunction from before because they never served it in time. The judge... But this case number, they're basically, what they've done is, when I got put into the police cell, they tried to bring some bloke, an independent company, into my police cell and tried to serve me the paperwork. And I started put my fingers in the air, run over to the camera and started screaming, saying, it's against the law, you can't serve me while I'm in my cell, yeah? Now, you can't do this. It says you've got to serve me at my house or my place of work. It's illegal. And I was screaming for the bloke to go away and the cops wouldn't let him in my cell, yeah? So he couldn't serve me. Then he's saying... Because what they've done is, when I was in the police cell, they threw the paperwork through my letterbox. But he never served me directly. They're going to say that I was upset. They don't want it in that court.
I did record this conversation there, but I couldn't, but that's not.